Hey everybody, it's Matt Michaels here on the DeFalco Files with the owner and creator of FSW, the Future Stars of Wrestling here in Las Vegas, Mr. Joe DeFalco. And Joe, the survival of the fittest just finished up this past Sunday, and man, were there some of the most fittest who survived.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, man, that was one of the best shows.
Yeah.
You know me. I'm not going to just randomly praise shit and stuff. Yeah. But the stories that were told, I thought the angles that we put together, the angles that I put together were tremendous.
Yeah.
It's always something. It starts off, we got this big video wall. It wasn't 15 by 10. It wasn't 15 by 12. It was more like 15 by 15, giant trussing. Looks like $1 million. The light guy's there. Everything's set up, looking good. They turn on the video walls. The power shoots off. Now, doors open at 4. It's 3:45. We're not bringing the projector down. We have no fucking lights other than the house lights, and we have no video wall. It was like, wow, this is great. They at 8 o'clock in the morning, they got there to set up this video wall, which is not easy to do. You know, they got the video wall working. Now I'm paying $500 for the fucking lighting guy.
Right.
Lighting guy, super nice guy, always there early. You know, this is the first time. Normally they made us pay for the sound and they threw in the lights. And now it's like, oh, we got to pay for the lights. So now it's a $3,000 room. Because, you know, he discounted me $100 from the sound. And instead of making it $600, it's only $500 for the sound. So now I'm paying $3K and we have no fucking lights. And I'm like, can we at least turn up the antlers a little bit? Oh, yeah, that's not working either. Like, are you kidding me? So then they bring in the engineers finally show up. No fucking clue. Those engineers were as smart as you about lighting. It's like, these guys are really getting paid for this? They go hit the switch like any moron would do. So now we have no lighting and we got the house lights. So it's like we got the beautiful video wall. And it's like, unbelievable. And then we start the show and, you know, hats off to everybody, man, you know. A lot of really good things happened, you know, and as I posted on Facebook, the biggest thing, man, watching Shogun come back, it was like, you know, it was a little emotional at that moment. It was like, man, you see him and I've seen him, like I knew, you know, but it's just like the reaction of the crowd. It was like when Chris Bay walked down, it was like, man, it was such a great moment in there. And you know, if it wasn't a great show, it would have been a great moment.
Right.
You know, and it was just like, wow, we had great moments throughout the night. And it was like him coming out and just the crowd response, getting on their feet was just, you know, because sometimes you wonder, hey, it's been 9 months, you know, it's like you see a lot of fresh faces in there. So it's like, hey, how many people are here? You know, I try to tell some of the main regulars who would always hit me up, hey, how's Stan? How's Shogun doing? You know, and some close people to them, like even, hey, like Garth or the Chief who've been there through hey, you guys come in, real big surprise, but I'm not going to tell them what it is. You know what I mean? And, you know, just trying to get some of the people that I know that were so interested. And I'm probably thinking now they might be a little disappointed they didn't make it to see, you know. And, you know, we had some hiccups and, you know, trying to get things in place. And, you know, again, it as good as it is, you know, the regulators, they said they're about an hour out and they ran something over. They bent their rim. They got stuck. They couldn't be there. We ended up changing something in that match, which ended up probably being, not saying, hey, I'm glad they didn't make it, but right. switching up some of the orders of what was happening. And man, for the second casino show in a row, I gotta re-listen, I guess, because I really believe the mariachis had the biggest reaction of any single person's on that show.
Yep.
Anybody.
Hands down.
And it was like, it wasn't like the old days where they sold, you know, 50% of the tickets at a school show.
Right.
Like these people, and in the 4-on-4 tag, we made sure we played everybody's music, but everybody got like a 10-second intro. And just in that 10 seconds, it was just amazing. And then when the Suavecitos came out and laid them out, and then they got pinned, man, there were some pissed off motherfuckers at that show.
Yeah,
I'm like, holy shit, that's the epitome of over.
Yep. No, there's no doubt, 100%. And what's really, I think what's really telling is that they're getting to the point now where I think they're beginning to feel the crowd, right? So now they're not just going through the motion. They're not going through the match. They're starting to react using that crowd and watching what they did, especially when you look at the fact that you put Reno and Class and the Mariachis in the same ring, man, that looks like a pro wrestling match.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, man. It's like I bust dib in Reno's balls all the time. You know, he's, the personal trainer to the stars and this. But, man, he's really taken on a leadership role in terms of, you know, getting everybody together. I saw him talking, you know, and he's really got it in that terms of knowing what they need to do to succeed. And the Citos, you know, they're not the biggest guys, but they've gotten themselves in fantastic shape. And I told them, it's like, you know, all the issues back and forth, it was never really when it came to the matches, it was the personality clashes and stuff.
Right.
But, you know, Ricky's still Ricky. He's still the same to me. But Danny is, man, I don't know if Chris Hero sat there and talked to him for hours. But Danny is a valuable guy back there in terms of, you know, trying to put things together and going over stuff and being a pro and them working together. And I told him at the show, I said, you know, my biggest beef with you guys, I remember when you guys wrestled the Regulators in the pre-show here. And I said, you know, I was busting balls, but I was being truthful. And I was like, look how they work as a tag team, the Regulators. It's like they're a unit. You guys are like two individuals.
Yeah.
And in the year and a half that they really didn't work for us, man, they've come full circle and they're a team, you know, and it's like very quickly Saturn and Desire, they're a team.
Yep. Yeah.
And then you got the Sky Highs, but then you got Young Money that they're going to be a team. Like they're getting there quick. Why? Because they got a guy like Devin Reno as a mentor.
Yeah.
You know, to talk them through. And, you know, it's just amazing to me, you know, how the tag team division, you got Limelight and Slice trying to come back, and you got Che and Tito, and you got some West Coast people, and you still got Dutra and Wise Guy. Yep. It's like, man, we got some great tag teams. It's like this tag division. And, you know, you still got a Royce and Jarrell on the sidelines. You know what I mean? It's like, man, the tag division through the roof.
And you got the new tag team of JKM and Jonathan.
And Johnny Royal. Yeah. They stepped up, you know, JKM. It was no secret that I've had some issues with him, but he was there bright and early. He's understanding that this is what it's going to take, man. You can get some great opportunities here, but I can also leave you off because I got a lot of motherfuckers. Yeah. Like, you need me more than I need you. I could do a lot for you, And I tried to early, but if you're gonna try to take advantage, then that ain't happening with me. Not working. And he hit me up, and it was, you know, I didn't want to do a 4-on-3, but I didn't really have anybody. And it was like there was no team sitting around. You know what I mean? And it was like, fuck, what am I going to do? He brought it up. I'm like, who's going to be your partner? He's like, Johnny Royal. I'm like, you know what? I don't give a fuck. Go ahead. Here's an opportunity.
Yep.
You know, take advantage of it. So the ending went fantastic. You know, the setup was there. And, you know, again, you got Watson and Fresco, and they're a pro team also. Yeah. You know, it was good for Chase and Jimmy Jack. You know, they're that wild card team. And it's like they just need more. They need more reps. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, what? You know what? Maybe at Future Shock we do Young Money versus the Po' Boys and let them fight it out. But, you know, with the tag stuff, we're there. You know, it's like we got a match set, Pretty City Express versus Transcendence on September 12th. And we're also going to have the Suavecitos. They're going to wrestle Lights, Camera, Faction.
Nice.
So, you know, back in the day, they were kind of on the same side back in the day when the Citos were here. So that might be the first time that those guys are ever wrestling against each other, maybe, other than what we just saw. So that's all the tag stuff, you know. And Duke Lawrence, the Nevada State champion, it's going to happen in September. And I'm not sure if it's going to be the 12th because Jacob Austin Young returns on September 12th.
Right.
So there is going to be a Nevada State Championship match. It might be the 12th. It might be the 27th. But Hero Lou will get a Nevada State Championship match against Duke Lawrence.
Nice.
Who decided at the last minute that, or did MK decide, but Duke didn't seem to fight it because when MK went through the door, I didn't see Duke running to be a savior. But
Duke was already backstage taking his boots off. And,
So Hero is, and that's what comes out of Survival of the Fittest.
Yeah.
And then you had Bateman and Jay Vidal. And that's going to be an interesting scenario. It's been confirmed that Bateman and Jay Vidal, he's going to be getting to work real soon. Because on September 12th, Jay Vidal and Bateman will be in the house.
Well, I want to see the video from the house. That's what I'm still waiting on.
That's what I say. And then, you know, going through the card, Dante King kind of wiped out the contenders. He didn't beat three people, but because of that, right now we're looking for a contender for the No Limits Championship.
Yeah. Yeah,
as Dante King vanquished Braxton.
Yeah, and that's, you know, the back and forth between him and Braxton was just beautiful. I think, you know, again, you talk about guys who sometimes just kind of get overlooked. They don't get the full credit they deserve. And Braxton, man, you know, it's unbelievable how amazingly well those four guys from the faction are coming along. In into each of them you can look and say, man, these guys can go anywhere either together or on their own, and they'll be able to hold their own because they have grown into some phenomenal professional wrestlers, man.
And then the craziness in the women's match, you know, who could have predicted a clean sweep from the outsiders.
Yeah. Yeah. And the, you know, the fact that Brittany seems to be a little entitled here, you know, here Gypsy Mac has worked her ass off to become champion. And Brittany just kind of seems like she feels like it's owed to her that she should have been champion by now. But, you know,
looks like she has to, you know, go and take out Gypsy, and now.
Well, you could say that, but Gypsy Mac basically, and again, it was an accident, we think, but Gypsy Mac cost Brittany Brooks the match.
Ah, Joe, come on now.
She knocked her out.
Come on now. I think that doesn't mean that Brittany needed to seek revenge while the match was going on. This is where we get a little argumentative here because.
Well, you know, that's why I wanted Brittany Brooks to be part of the Brat Pack. You know, those young kids, they get a little overzealous, you know, over certain things. And now we happen to have a women's show in less than 2 weeks. And it's probably going to be a cruel summer for one of those two. Because we have the match signed for the FSW Women's Championship, and it's going to be the first time ever the championship will be decided in a first blood match.
Yeah. Yeah. And
so,
you know, I got to give it credit to both of them for stepping up for this one. This is going to be, it could be something special because, you know, we've never seen it.
And if you don't think the women's division with Zamaya and Maserati, who weren't even involved in the women's match, right, isn't really picking up, you know, if you weren't impressed with Trisha Dora and Layla Gray, then you're obviously not a fan of women's wrestling because we now have two new additions that they're not going to be climbing the ladder. The existing FSW women have to now say, oh, shit.
Yeah.
These two might be ahead of us.
Yeah.
And, you know, to mix the show up a little bit because, you know, you don't want to do just seven singles matches. You know, you need to mix some things up. And, you know, Layla Gray, which it was funny because I was not aware of Luke and Layla from OVW. I knew that's where they came from, and then they went to the New Japan Dojo. So I'm going through Netflix, and usually if you pause on something, it gives you like almost like the trailer type thing, and all of a sudden it was both of them that were on there. And I was like, oh, shit, I didn't realize they were kind of featured in there. But, you know, watching Layla Gray, Trisha Dora, and Black Swan, Zoe Dubois, it's like, oh, shit, man, we got three – super additions to the women's division. So now you got the tag team division. You got 10 teams, the women's division. It's like, you know, we probably can do a show every week and it not get stale.
Yeah, sure.
You know, we're going to be doing two back to back. We're doing Future Shock on the 30th and we're going to be doing the 31st with the women's show.
Yeah, and you know it's almost contagious, you know, because you're seeing, I think everyone, if you don't step up, you stand out like a sore thumb now.
Well, you know, we talk about the card, and it's like survival of the fittest. Maybe luck of the draw because, you know, you have a 30-person rumble, you know. But, man, you look at all the people on that roster, but then it's like, hey, you know what? Matt Vandergrift is still banged up. He wasn't on the show. Right. Jacob Austin Young wasn't on the show. Hammerstone wasn't on the show. Damian Drake, a regular, he wasn't on the show. Sugar Brown working to get on and ended up not on the show. WWE ID wrestler Jordan Oasis will be returning on September 12th, but he hasn't been on many shows. And it's like, wow, we got in that back pocket. It is just like, man, those Future Shock guys, even as good as Jaden Coles looked and the Colin Muldoons and the Adrian Reigns, man, to get a spot, you better have some deep pockets to pay off Joe to get a spot on a show. Let me tell you something.
Well, because that just goes to show. I mean, the pre-show match, that match was solid, and you're looking at those guys, and it's like those guys need to continue to step up because.
All right, so it's like I have to do a Future Shock show because these guys need an opportunity. And now we got so many women, it's like you can't put four women's matches on the show. You know, we got 8 or 10 women to utilize, but we got 30 guys to utilize. So we can't bring them from 5 or 6 matches to 2 or 3. It's like, man, I had a conversation with somebody. And NJ, our announcer, part of Culture Inc. And it was like, hey, you know, I wanted to talk to you, you know, trying to get Malik out here and stuff. And I'm like, bro, I understand, but you got to understand something. It's like, look at the guys who weren't on the show that they were. It's like, Sugar Brown is back. It wasn't like, hey, he's looking to come back. He was involved in a casino match. Yeah. Not that long ago, but now it's like he has to step back, and now he's waiting. Clutch is in Arizona, dying to get more opportunities, and he's gotten in better shape. He's in great shape, and he's killing it in Arizona with the AWF. He's winning. He's won their championship, and it's like, where does everybody fit in? There's other people that we've talked with who we haven't used in a while, and it's like, had the conversation. And it's like, well, where do I fit in? And it's like, yeah, you know, maybe luck of the draw, because things sometimes can lead into something. And we've talked to numerous people. As I said, Hammerstone is scheduled to be back on September 12th. But guess what? Shogun's back now. He wants to work. You know, we're trying to bring him along slow. But what am I going to do? Leave him off? You know, of course, he's a player. He's a main player. And we're the company that has, man, I need somebody else's hands to count the main players.
Yeah.
You know, most companies wish, if you're not WWE or AEW or TNA, and you're not a major, if you're not a national company, you wish you're counting this many main players that you use regularly. You know, everybody brings in somebody, but man, I got a top 10, you know, you put that Survival of the Fittest flyer up and then you add the Vandegrifts. Ice and Sharp and Bateman and Jay Vidal and Luke Curtis. He's showing that he's something, and Duke and Hero and Shogun and the tag teams, a team like the Regulators, who we haven't used in forever. And the Suavecitos, who we hadn't used. They're one of the top tag teams on the West Coast. Class and Reno, one of the top tag teams on the West Coast. You know, Regulators, they're probably the best tag team in Arizona.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, you got all these guys, and we got the Faction, and we got Ice, and we got Oasis, who you're trying to work into a spot.
Right. And then you got Bodie. You haven't even, you know.
Right. You got Bodie. You got Remy.
Yep.
You know. And it's like, guys, I understand it. And it's like, people, I don't know what's a bigger problem, having what I have or having not enough talent.
Yeah.
You know, you're always going to have a good show in my position.
Right.
In regards, because whoever you pick, it's just like, oh, who's going to work the show today? Jay Vidal or Matt Vandegrift, but you got to leave one off. Well, right. You're leaving off a super talent, but whichever one you pick, you got a super talent. And it's nonstop of the guys that you have. And the same thing with the women, you know, talk about the main event, you know, it's kind of split down the middle. You got Sharp, you got Ice, you know, I've never seen Sharp say, man, that was a great match I had. He's never satisfied. Always feels that he could have did so much better.
Yeah.
You know, I'd only caught maybe the last half of the match. So he seemed to believe that the crowd didn't really respond as much to what he would have liked when they were doing the chain wrestling and the early part, which is always the build, you know. Right. But the last half of the match that I saw was very, very good, you know. And I another guy that, even though he got signed by the WWE ID and stuff, if you looked when he was the champion, he's better now as a wrestler than he was as the champion. And Sharp is always at the top of the game, and there ain't many people better than him. So,
and you also have to give, you know, one of the things that I think that is easily kind of forgettable in the minds of, you know, the guys in that match is they put on one hell of a great match, but they also did it as the main event of a show that had so many different steps that now it's different. You know, so you have to have that build in the crowd.
You had to follow a surprise of a guy that almost died 9 months ago, and we never thought that he'd be even getting back in the ring from the early prognosis of his issue in the car accident.
Yeah.
Like it's just mind-boggling to see that he actually got in the ring. So, boom, as good as the match may be, man, you couldn't really make that match the main event.
Right.
So you now had to follow something that was a very, very special moment because we were fortunate that we did a much better job of making this surprise than Seth Rollins showing up. We thought it was the ruse of the century, but this was the surprise. And, you know, there's not many things we could have pulled off this weekend that people wouldn't have been disappointed because it wasn't Cross.
Right. Yeah.
And being that it was Shogun, it was like, holy shit, you know.
Yeah. And speaking of Mr. Cross, the first match that he's wrestling is going to be against Mr. Holiday. So,
yes, I just saw that. You know, I don't know if upset, disappointed. You know, he talked with Remy. He was saying, you know, one of the few companies definitely looks forward to working with is going to be at FSW. I didn't even get the opportunity to be the first match like the last time. It was special because we were the first match after he got released that we locked it in, you know. And it was like, oh. You said you were going to call me. What's going on? You obviously talked to the guy from Defy. Where's my phone call, brother?
Well, you know, in all fairness, your pocketbook has been saved because I'm sure that's not a very
well. Cheap yeah, match. You know, I'm looking at it this way: that maybe those guys came in at the number, and that number, I can honestly say, Kevin wouldn't try to get me to make him pay that number.
Yeah.
So and it's understandable that he's going to be like, you know what? I'm not going to miss out on that number. No. And there's plenty of other dates for Joe, but Joe's my guy. Right. So, you know, because if you've seen the blurb, I got the blurb in the book. You know what I mean? Maybe I could trade in the blurb in the book, and you know, maybe that saves me $1,500 off the top of the fees. You know, maybe being in the blurb gets a savings.
You know, it's the thing. Kevin will work for you for $500, but you have to book Scarlett for $3,000. So,
believe me, if that was the deal, he would have been locked in for 5 shows. I highly doubt that number is going to be anywhere. You know, near that at this point. So,
well, I love the fact too that, you know, the rumor of the price is so high that obviously he has something in place with WWE because,
I'm going to be honest. I in the back of my mind, and some people still believe it's a work and it could be. But if it is, they're definitely playing the long game on that.
Yeah.
You know, I firmly believe that what he has said to me and to Remy, and he said to Helwani and everybody else, is 100% truth. I still think it's the weirdest shit thing possible. But hey, I'm going to find out more information. So as right before I got here, I got a phone call. And I say, FSW, how can I help you? Oh, hey, how you doing? My name is Fabian. I worked in WWE and I moved to Vegas. And it was looking to get ring time. I'm like, oh, okay. Said you work for WWE? He goes, yeah. I went by Giovanni Vinci. I'm like, oh, hey there. How you doing? Oh. Bah, 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 bah. And I'm like, okay, well, this changes that scenario. So
yeah.
He moved to Vegas recently. So
nice.
He said it's been 8 months. I'm like, yeah, that was a weird one. Like, never hadn't seen him forever. They brought him back. They brought this thing where it looked like it was going to be this losing gimmick, and they were going to turn it around. And it was a losing gimmick for like 4 weeks, and then they released him.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, well, hopefully he'll start training at the school this week. You know, Jeff Cobb, JC Mateo was in at the school yesterday.
Yep.
You know, this is definitely the place to be. So it's like, man, we got everything going on. We got the women's show. We got the Future Shock. We got the Halloween show. We got, you know, man, there is so much going on. I talked to my people about that big show that I'm looking to do right on the strip pretty much. And I got the email yesterday. Thank you for your patience. Well, we're really, really interested in doing it. It's just, you know, having to jump through hoops, dealing with the, you know, the company, you know, the hotel casino.
Do they have to get like city ordinances on that, since it technically is a public space, or is it privately owned space?
I am not sure what it exactly is, but you know, I got the info and it was like, thank you for your patience. Yes, we are very interesting. I'm working hard on my end to secure the blank through blank.
Right.
This has turned out to be very complicated, but I'm making strides. We have interest from AB, who is the boss, as well, not Antonio Brown. We're good with that. As well, to participate as a sponsor. Oh, at some point, I'm going to have to introduce you to the event crew over here at blah, blah, blah.
Right.
I will follow up ASAP. Because they mess, and the boss hit me up like, hey, what would it cost for a show? And I kind of gave him the breakdown, like, hey, you want a regular show? Or do you want a show? And I'm bringing in Ace Austin and the Rascals and Cross and Matt Cardona. You know what I mean? So there's a lot going on there, you know. And the week before Mania, looks like we got an event happening with the Silver Knights. So as I said, Guy Shakur, who we're working with, he's taken over a bar restaurant in near the Sphere, and we're looking at possibly doing something there. So we're really, you know, the excitement. And I'll be honest with you, I finally talked to the guy at the Silverton today about the numbers. And the numbers we did last year at Survival of the Fittest, we were kind of on like that downslide, you know. And right. On Tuesday last week, I got the numbers. And again, you know, saying, hey, we only sold 11 tickets last year at Survival of the Fittest is what we went through the website. Okay. Right. It's other people that don't deal with us. Like, we sold 7 front row last year at Survival of the Fittest on the website, but I sold 50 something by myself through our fan. But the number is crazy because, wow, it seems like there's a lot more people, because I never got an update Wednesday, Thursday. And, you know, I don't ask 2 days later. But by Friday, I was asking again, and Saturday, and then on Sunday, the day of, because I wanted to see. And then it looked like the numbers were there. And then I got the information today, and we did actually better, I believe, than the anniversary show.
Wow.
So we usually try to do about, we're supposed to do about 80, 85 front row. We try to squeeze 90. We did over 100 for the Chris Bay thing.
Right.
We did about 100 for the anniversary. So the website had sold 18 front rows, and I had sold 58 by last week on the Tuesday. So we were about 76. We had a couple for the guys that we were hoping to come down. Hassan, who's the tennis chef sponsor, he's on the mat. So give or take, we were about 82. Okay. Yeah. So we put about 90 front rows. And all of a sudden, I'm walking, and Rocky handled it with some – there was a group of four, and the seats, they were kind of this way, like from the front row by the rampway, and then the seat went like this almost into the second row. I'm like, how come the seats are like that? They're like, oh, Rocky came in because we didn't have any room. Well, I got the numbers today, and we went from 18 on Tuesday front row as top of the 60 that I had to 42 that were sold through the website.
Jesus.
So they they sold 24 front row in a 3-day period.
Yeah.
So the numbers, like I said, now these are outside people, not the regulars. And usually, you know me, I'm always blasting the fucking Silverton for shit and the things that happen. So I talked to him because I was dreading this conversation. Because it's like, first off, I just paid $500 for a lighting guy who's super nice, but there's no fucking lights. They went out. So I call him up, and I'm about ready to start going off because he's like, oh, what'd you guys do? You set up the video wall and the lights went out. And I'm like, well, I didn't realize you guys were a casino, I said, that didn't have enough power to actually run a fucking video wall. Like it. Yeah, he was kind of joking, so I kind of said it sarcastically and stuff like that. But I'm like, you know, we got the video wall working, and it's like you have engineers that they're acting like they don't know anything. And I'm like, you know, get a discount. You know, I'm not trying to be a dick or anything, but I did pay $500. He's like, you know, moving forward, I won't charge you for the lighting. I'm like, well, remember you said that.
Yeah.
Because if you're not giving me a discount for this show, but because Saturday I'm going through my mail, and I always go through the spam mail every once in a while, because for some weird reason, things that shouldn't be in the spam mail pop up in there. It was like, Eventbrite decided to let me know that I had a ticket sale and it went through the fucking spam. Like, what the fuck? Or saw a lot, like this past week, like four Zelle payments for there. Went through. So all of a sudden it said Silverton, but I couldn't really read the thing. So I move it into the inbox, and then I double click, and all of a sudden it says Crafts, Fajitas, and Wrestling. I'm like, what? They're having something in the fucking email about FSW? I click it, and it's like I scroll, and it has Craft Day, whatever. Because they were doing something on Saturday, a craft show at the Vail Pavilion. Then the next thing was, hey, it's National Fajita Day on Monday, August 18th. And they were doing $15 chicken and steak fajitas, which is a great deal. If I was in that area, I would have got it. And then it was like, check out the Future Stars of Wrestling returns August 17th. Survival of the Fittest. They put the flyer. I'm like, holy fuck. They're promoting us. And other than, you know, because the marquee looks great, but the thing was, normally it's like we get them the flyer and it's just a flyer and it shows the date. Mikey ended up sending some video too, because they cut it up and it looked great. It showed like the fast paced action, and the video ends up lasting a little longer. So they do 40 seconds instead of 20, because it ain't that great when you get 20 seconds and it's every 5 or 10 minutes, but 40 seconds. You know, you're driving, 40 seconds is a good chance for you to actually see it. So it's like, hey, I get what I pay isn't the best for me, I think. But it's like, if we're going to get this much promotion, I'm going to be okay with it. It's like, maybe if I feel like you guys are going out of your way to assist and work together. Because again, it was the same issue with the bar. You have a lady there, nice enough, but the line's 30 people long. And if the line's 30 people long, how many people don't want to get in the line? How much more money, you know, you want to save what, $60 by not putting a bartender on for 3 hours? Right. Don't tell me you didn't lose out on $200, $400, $600, $800 in sales.
Yeah.
That if you gave me $500 or less, and it's like, hey, bro, you know, I got my email that Joe, who likes to play the video poker, but not at the Silverton because I'm not there that much. I might be there 10 times a year, you know, the five times we do a show. So odds of me gambling that day are slim to none. And then when I go pick up the check, so I might play a little bit then. So I am not even like, you know, a platinum or a chairman or gold. You know, I'm the lowest level that you can be, and you're still offering me tickets. You know, you could tell me how good the Tina Turner tribute. Oh yeah, it was really crowded. Yeah, but you're giving everybody in your email a free ticket if they take it.
Right.
And your email list is probably 20 to 50,000 people.
Right.
So to say you got 500 people there, well, guess what? We got almost 500 people there, and nobody got a free ticket other than the few people I gave a fucking ticket to. Or people like you who slide in and back door without paying. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, but other than that, you know, it's you're paying. So these people, and it's even better because you had to pay the Tina Turner tribute band and the Journey and the Billy Idol and the Led Zeppelin and every single one. For us, you get paid and then you get paid. Wow. Yeah. Why wouldn't you want to have as many people as you can at my place? Right. Because as I said to him, it's like, and I understand because I said to him, like, hey, why can't you charge us $500 less and then give some tickets to your people, to your players? But I'm pretty sure it's all or nothing. You can't try to, they're not going to spend time only offering their chairman players a free ticket to our show. You know what I mean? Because now what are they going to do? They're going to offer tickets, and now 1,000 people took the tickets, and 500 and 300 of the 500 that were going to buy a ticket to my show have now gotten them for free because I saved 500 and it cost me 4,000. So now that I think about it, it's like, well, maybe that isn't the best deal. But it's like, hey, maybe you can offer something to your better players in turn to try to knock down the thing. Because it's like, hey, if I'm paying three, well, now maybe I'm paying 25 because I'm not being charged for the lighting guy. Or are you going to charge me 26 and recharge me the extra 100 for the sound guy that you took off the last show? You know what I'm saying? Like, I can see that happening. But it's like, you know, we're scheduled to be there for No Escape to start the year. And even now, because we hadn't done the Meccas, because it was the Ring of Honor thing.
Right.
But we did the Chris Bay, but we normally wouldn't. So it was like the No Escape. It's the anniversary. It's Survival of the Fittest. And it's Luck of the Draw. So that's we're scheduled for four shows. Well, hey, if we did six shows and you saved me $1,000, you would still make up for it because I would do 2,000 times six is 12 instead of 3,000 times four is also 12. But now you would have all the people in your casino six times. You would have the liquor six times. Right. You know, you'd have the Snickers bars for $3 six times and the 40 pack from Smith's Fritos and Lay's potato chips and those six times. So you would be making more money off of six times, plus you would be getting your processing fee of $4.50 for every ticket sold six times.
Right.
So, and it's like, I don't know. But, and then I have to look back and say, hey, but man, that being on that marquee for 3 weeks, not 10 days, but being on there for 4 or 5 weeks, man, how many cars every day on the highway see this beautiful video screen? And then if you're driving on Blue Diamond, wow, you see it at the stop sign.
Yep.
There's two there. Then if you're going into the Silverton, you're seeing two there. And now they got some really nice video walls inside. Yeah, inside. And the cashier's got three or four of them. And I actually saw them by where the old, you know, box office was and the thing. And that's where I ended up seeing it for there. So if you're in the Silverton now, you actually see it.
Right.
Yep. Because it is hard because, you know, they're trying to turn people away because if you're older, oh, yeah, you need to scan. The only way to buy a ticket the day of the show is scanning a QR code. Like, come on, right. Really? Are you kidding me? There was a lady who comes and her nephew or I think her grandson and they come to the show. But the kid, because he's under 18, he comes more. I think it's the grandson. So he comes to our shows. So I saw her, and I didn't know what was going on. And Nino was like, oh, I'll take care of it, and then I'll sell you the money, you know? And I'm like, where's the kid? And he's like, oh, he's already in there with his friends. And it's like, so we're going to turn people away because she's 70 and can't do QR codes? Like, my QR code fucking sucks. And, you know, I'm not computer illiterate, and I can barely get it to work. Yeah. So it's like, so why are we turning people away? You know, I don't get it because as I said, people are coming to the shows even when you think that it's going to be a little light. And we put out X amount of chairs and it was just like, oh, and normally at 10 minutes to 5, right when bell time is, it's like, oh boy, it's really going to be light. Like,
right.
Man, this seems a lot busier than it should be beforehand. We might be getting, so we ended up having to put out more rows of chairs.
Yep.
Because I think we set up for, you know, 3 to 350. And that's what we were looking at. And it was like, well, we far surpassed it. And then I saw by literally selling, you know, 120 tickets over the last couple days where people, where you're forcing them. Because, again, at Sam's Town, the difference was, hey, the show's happening. People go to the box office. They bought their ticket right then and there.
Right. Yep.
In what world do we live in now that you can't just buy tickets at the door for the show?
Well, they don't want to pay a box office. That's the whole thing. That's why they stopped running a box office there.
So, I guess. But for a day of the show, you can't have somebody in the box office? I don't understand.
Yeah, and that's it. And because, you know, it's probably two things. Whatever the QR code company that handles that stuff too, they probably gave them a deal. So,
you know. That's why there's no physical tickets. They do the free mobile thing.
Yeah.
Yep. Because if we have to print a ticket, they're charging me like $1 or $1.50 per ticket.
Right, which is insane.
So. And they were trying to do that on the comp ticket. So, like, when we have some vet tickets, like we do,
right.
They're like, I'm like, how about I just put them on a fucking list? Oh, you could do that. Okay. Well, everybody who's not paying for a ticket is not getting a ticket. Yes. Not that the other ones, they just have it on the phone, the mobile phone. But if I do anything with a ticket, man, these people, like, man, how much you want to gouge me for? Because you sell, you know, tickets, you're making on top of what I pay you, you're making $1,500 to $2,000 off the fees.
Yeah, of course.
But thankfully, it ain't a Ticketmaster fee.
Right. And that's a huge.
So that's another thing. So it's like, well, it's $450 a fee per ticket. Well, you know, I had to go buy a ticket for, you know, Lenny Kravitz, and the ticket was $50. But it still cost me $85. Yeah. So two tickets cost me $70 in all their fees.
Yep. Yeah. You could have brought a third person to the show for what you're paying on fees.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
You know, and that's why we do the four pack. That's the only way. That's the only good deal we get. We get the four pack for $80, but they only charge the $4.50 processing.
Right.
And that's why we encourage people. So you're saving money. But you're saving $13.50.
Yeah.
So if some, so the problem becomes when I have to get tickets through our people and the wrestlers are selling tickets, they're not selling them in fours. So right. we're giving them the discount for the 20. But then if I have to do the other way through the fee, it's 25. So I'd have to eat the $5.
Right.
And then it's $9 in the processing fee and the LET fees. So now I'm giving you $9 out of the 20. So I'm making right. 11. So right. thank God for the four pack.
Right. Right. Or else Ricky doesn't get paid.
Yeah.
Tenacious works for free, that show.
Yeah, that's how it is.
All right, so we got Future Shock coming up here. So far, what do you have planned for the 30th?
Well, right now, you know, it's come to a head, you know, as a lot of things do in wrestling. Former partners, the Killer D's, Davion, Jaco, and Demir Morningstar. And we're actually, you know, trying to come up with a, which will be the first time on Future Shock having a gimmick match. You know, yeah. we're just, I'm just looking at what I think works. You know, the one thing that happened with Davion and Demir was Davion took possession of Demir's chain when he ripped it off his neck. It wasn't a Russian chain.
Chain on a pole.
What's that?
Chain on a pole match.
You know, that was an idea. A Russian sickle match is always my favorite. To always, I just like saying a Russian sickle match. I'm pretty sure Davion and Demir have no idea. A Russian sickle is. But I just like saying it and think it would be a cool match to have. You know what I mean? You know, and other people have talked about, you know, the chain match where you're kind of chained together.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
the thing about that match I don't like the four corner chain match. It's like, so we're yeah. in a blood feud, but for me to win, I have to hit a fucking turnbuckle four times.
Man. Right.
So,
and it's also, you know, we're also talking complexity starts coming in how you have to map out a match like that. That's a little more advanced. Because there's a lot going on in that shit.
Yeah. So I'm not out of your trend of that. Obviously, Jaden Cole, who's been making strides, he'll be on the show. And Colin Muldoon will be on the show. And Jeffrey Excellence is back. He's been, you know, Remy really put him over. You know, he's looking good. You know, he this is the second time he's gone there. Working for Taka Michinoku.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
And he's a guy who likes to learn. And that's the thing. He absorbs. And you can see that, you know, he tends to get better every time you see him in the ring, which is, you know, and he's positive. You know, he's a good guy to have around because he's a positive guy. And it's fun to see him back.
Yeah. So, and he's always been one of the most helpful people. And the thing with him is, it's like, you need a hand. He always figured out a way to help out, even though it wasn't because it was a booking. A right. lot of people, of course, they show up the day of, hey, it's a casino show. Hey, we're going to help set up. Of course you are. But he's the guy like, hey, we're doing something at the Sahara for this women's show. And we have to literally walk 800 feet and bring the beams and everything because the setup at the Sahara was the shits. And you had to go around corners and try to put it through. But who's there? The Jimmy Jacks, the Jeffrey Excellence. There's nothing for them on that show. But they make themselves valuable in that way.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Jeffrey Excellence got himself in fantastic shape. And he went to Japan. And, you know, you got to work in Japan. Taka Michinoku ain't putting you on a fucking show because you flew yourself in. Yeah. You're going to earn that fucking spot. And Jeffrey Excellence has made himself a valuable commodity. And hey, when you coming back? Oh, you miss me? Yeah, because there aren't a lot of people like you who actually put in the effort. Again, you know, I had to go off. And it wasn't really because of anything specific, but, you know, I posted because we had a pre-show match. And on the pre-show match, you know, it got leaked. And obviously, because you got a hold of it, because that wasn't correct. It wasn't a 5-on-5. It was a 4-on-4.
Right.
So when you posted, I tried to pull it because I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Oh, I thought it was a 5-on-5 because that's what Mikey thought. Right. And it was like, well, we had a mystery partner. I didn't want another flyer that had like 7 mystery partners on it. And it's like, what the fuck? Because 1, 2, 3. It's like, no, it's 4-on-4. You know what I mean? And it's like, okay, well.
Well, one of them was face John Cena and one of them was heel John Cena in that match. So there you go.
And it was like, no, it's 4-on-4. And Sin had his thing at the Cauliflower Alley on the fly. And it was like, I had to be like, hey, Sin, no offense, but it's an FSW show. These motherfuckers need to be at our show setting up. So we can make it a little earlier. You could make yours earlier because 2 o'clock's call time. You need some people to help set up your ring at your show, but they're going to be here. So once they got word they weren't part of the pre-show, all of a sudden, after we were done setting up and they left, they never came back.
Right.
Because they weren't going to be on the pre-show match. And it's like, well, you know, you're lucky you're on Future Shock, and these guys are delusional to where they just think that they're deserving. You know what I mean? And it's like, I had to write a note like, hey, we're putting the matches together, everybody. But I need to let you guys know something. It's like right now we have, I said, not all of you are going to have a spot just because you had one before. Because Kenny went through stuff. If you're not cutting it, you don't get the other shot. So it's like Davion versus Demir is the only match set. And I'm like, the decision will be based on putting the work, being at training. Whatever reason you can't make it has no bearing on anything. Like, I get it. I understand you have to work. I understand you have to make a living. But if you want to be a wrestler and you can't be here, maybe you need to rethink what you're doing. You want to pay to train and not show up very often? Great. I'm taking your money. I got to pay bills. It ain't like I'm sitting here and every dollar somebody gives me is a profit. I got a lot of money I got to pay to a fucking landlord and the trainers. Whether you show up or not, I still have to pay everybody. So you want to come in, but if you can't be here, and there were guys who weren't here and one of them, oh, I started working. Okay, that's cool. But we have a show, and we had five days of training this week. I saw you 0. Okay, so thank God you showed up to set up, or you were being pulled from the show. And it's like, I understand what you need to do, but if you're not here for me, why do you expect me to be there for you?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's like, you have to reemphasize that. I'm like, if you're trying to be a wrestler and are a student, it's your responsibility to figure it out. When I see our top guys who've been doing it for years, the Sharps, the Vandegrifts, you know, the Damian Drakes, ID people like Ice Williams and Oasis, and I see them at the FSW training facility more than I see the guy who's had 2 shitty matches and 1 mediocre one at Future Shock. You can't do anything but shake your head.
Yep.
And it's like being around. Just because you help at a casino show, that is not enough. If you're on a show, you don't leave after the show because sometimes they think, hey. And it's like, man, when you set up at a casino and you break down, yeah, there's work involved, man. You got to do some work. Yeah. But at the school, the ring's already there. We've spent money to buy a second ring so you motherfuckers don't have to break it down, set it up, to break it down, to set it up again. All you guys have to do at the school is bring in 30 chairs that we leave outside for you guys to sit in, bring them in, then take the turnbuckles that have the FSW logo, switch them out, and take off the canvas. Yep. You don't have to re-put another canvas on because you put the black canvas over the blue one, and all you're doing is doing that. Yep. And make sure that the waters and some scrap stuff is picked up.
Yeah.
So literally it takes you 20 or 30 minutes, being that there should be a crew of, on Future Shock, 12 or 14 wrestlers. It's like they think, it's like, hey, just because you're in the fucking, you know, oh, well, I was in the pre-show match, so why would I need to help anymore? Like, your spot on the main show is not hanging out in the back bullshitting.
Right.
And it's like, man, what the fuck? And it's like, it's simple stuff. And it's like, it amazes me, like, how honored certain people are. We're doing the women's show. Gypsy Maz recommended some people. And it's like, hey, just so you know, because a lot of times in the women's shows, when they get booked, they're going to get paid a lot more than the guys.
Right.
And it's like, hey, we have a budget. Pay ain't going to be that great. And like, hey, we're just looking for an opportunity. So we got some new talent that's going to be on the show that want to be on there. But it's no different than the guys. It's like, as we said, Jordan Cruz, one of the best wrestlers in California. He started on Future Shock, but he also had 5 years, 8 years in the business, and he started on Future Shock. Class got on Future Shock. You know, it's easy to say, well, yeah, that's where Cross and Bay. Yeah, but they never had a match before. That's where they start, where you guys start.
Right.
When I bring in a lot of guys, they've been doing it for years, but they're dying for an opportunity to work for FSW. And I tell them, this is going to be the only chance you're going to have unless you're highly recommended. And I know of you to begin with. Then we're there. Look, even Scoop helps clean. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's just like there's no privilege. Like, you have to earn what you get. And you guys think by magically showing up, you earned it. But when Kenny goes through the matches, as I said, that's another thing. When 14 guys from Vegas wrestle on Future Shock, I'm not counting Watson or Sharp. Or Dante, or whatever. Those guys are doing us a favor by working with you young kids. Right. But the 14 young kids who are working on the show from Vegas, and you can't make it to training that day because Kenny's going over your match. And then I hear that basically out of the 14, four showed up, so that left 10. And out of the 10, probably two or three at best hit up Kenny to see what he thought. So what about you other seven motherfuckers? Like, what are you thinking? Like, you know your shit was the shits? When you throw kicks against a guy who's wrestling that's 6'4", 280 pounds, and you're kicking him so hard you wouldn't have hurt my dog, who's 18 pounds, you're not doing something right.
No, Joe, I'm just working safe.
Yeah, and it's like, man, those strikes are embarrassing looking. And we're trying to get you better, but if you're not putting the effort to make yourself better, how hard do we, if you're not working hard, why do we got to work hard for you?
Right.
And you know, and you get the Flyboy Freddies, Enrique Calderones, Young Money, they're working on our main shows.
Yeah.
Hey, we're gonna be there on the 30th. We're going to be there for Future Shock. Hey, we're coming up for Future Shock. Anything you got for us? And it's like, man, these people want to work.
Yeah.
you know, Taylor York. She's coming with her boyfriend, Jacob East. And he's another PCW guy. He's worked some of the Future Shocks. They're coming in the 30th, even though she's working the 31st, because she's trying to get work in. But she also comes in with her boyfriend, and he's looking to get a match. So he's going to try to come in the day early. So now we have her for two shows. So if I'm using the 31st on a women's show and I need women to work the 30th, guess who's getting a match on the 30th too?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Because, and she's much improved from the first time we used her.
Yeah. Yep.
So working with Zamaya and working with Devin Reno and working with, you know, that crew, putting in the work. Yeah. And it's like, dudes, if you can't put in the work, man, wow. You know, like Remy said, hey, 17 people showed up to class on Friday, he said last week. Well, that's fantastic. But how come when I showed up last week for this week for Bateman, on a Sunday we have a show, Monday we're, you're training with Bateman, and there's like five or six of you? Because what are you, so tired because you grabbed the guardrails yesterday? Like most of you weren't even on the show. What are you tired from? So,
yeah, well, you know, that's it. That's the thing. And again, it's like you have to realize how, you know, lucky you are to have the opportunity to train with these trainers. And I think that, you know, something that sometimes you don't comprehend that because you go elsewhere, you know.
Even a good school that you go to, like if you're a beginner, go to Santino's. You at best have maybe 3 days a week you can go to. Maybe. Probably two.
Yeah.
Okay. You can't go to the other classes because they'll have an intermediate. Because of our situation, we're giving you the opportunity to train 5 days a week. And I have to get you Cody, and I got to get you Remy, and I got to get you Kenny, and I got to get you Sin, and I do get you Bateman, and then some weeks it's TJP, and some weeks it's Sharp, and it's I have to pay 5 days a week. I could train 3 days a week, and I would save myself, I don't know, $600-$700 a month.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with having 3 days a week and forcing you to do it, but we try to give you as much opportunity as possible. And then who doesn't want to take advantage of it? Well, most of you.
Right. Right. And then, you know, I was, you know, back at UPW, he had two schools going, you know, so you could, you know, be at the one school and, you know, Tom Howard's training you, and then you could be at the other school and Chris Daniels is training.
Oh, yeah, two schools?
Yeah, we had two locations. We were down in Huntington and then in El Segundo.
Oh, I was not – all these years, I was never aware of that.
Yeah. So the one I primarily trained at was the one in Huntington, which was a boxing gym. And I'll tell you – you know, when you get into the ring and you'd forget to take out the pin and you start taking bumps on a boxing ring that doesn't have the give.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. You know,
yeah, that was fun.
That's why there's a lot of rolling in Lucha Libre, because they use predominantly boxing rings.
Boxing rings. Yep. It's like, oh, shit. But yeah. And then, you know, and again, it's like, and like, for instance, you know, you talk about determination. Cena would, you know, roll around, do, you know, maybe teach a class. Then afterwards at 9 or 10 at night, he'd go downstairs to the gym that was downstairs in this place. And he'd be working out in the gym for an hour or 2 hours.
You got to put the work in it. You know, the best wrestlers, you know, Zoe would put the work in, you know, Bay would put the work in, you know, we're talking people. Even before she got hurt, when she moved back to town, you know, Lacey would be around.
Yep.
She's on the road in WWE, but still makes time to come and train.
Right. And, you know, and that's what made me mad, too, about when she got injured. She had just been at the school training because she knew she was going to have that match coming up.
Yeah.
And then you have people on the internet who start going, well, you know, she doesn't know what she's doing. She's rusty. She's this or that. Not even realizing that this person is putting in the time, the effort, and the work because they're ready. They know that they've, you know, got an opportunity coming up. And it's like everyone's a fucking genius nowadays and can tell you everything about everyone. And, you know, how, oh, well, she didn't do this right or what. It's like, man, you know, shut up. Shut up, you know. You don't know how these people who are that good put in that extra time and effort because they love to do this. And that's what gets me so frustrated with the wrestling fans.
Yeah, you know, I pay it no mind because, you know, the only ones who are going to respond are the ones who want to say something negative anyway.
Yeah.
And that's why sometimes you hate being a part of this because sometimes the fans are ridiculous. But then you have to realize when you see what happens with Shogun and he comes back and the Chris Bay thing that, right. You know what? It isn't even 20%. It's probably... Right. 5% if you're lucky, 2% of the people that you're hearing from, that right. The others don't need to go out of their way to say, hey, that was good. Because yeah. You know, the only ones who want to have something to say are the negative people, you know. Yeah. And it's like anybody can find a reason to shit on something if they really want to.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I try to shit on things that are deserving.
Yeah.
Because I can go look at a show and there's things at the Silverton that no matter what went well on that day, that there was stuff. Now, what are we going to harp on? Well, I'm pretty much harped on a lot of positive today, you know, yeah. And... You know, there were good things. There were great things. I even, you know, if I'm going to shit on Triller, it's because they didn't fucking pay. Well, why shouldn't I say anything about it?
Right.
Because when they're not reaching back to me and they're not telling me things and they're just like fucking throwing out the fucking thing and, oh, yeah, yeah, oh, yeah, this week, Joe, oh, you're full of shit. And I'm going to call you out on it because it's the truth. Right. And I was in the office today talking and somebody was like, oh, yeah, you know, pretty much. Yeah, of course. I'm going to tell you why. I'm not just going to say it. And I'm going to say, hey, this is the reason.
Right.
You know, somebody came to me about something and I'm like, I got no issues with it. But the key is getting there, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm like, look at our roster and look at things. And it's like, yeah, it's easy to say, hey, it'll be cool. Why don't you? Yeah, that'd be great. You know, NJ trying to bring in Malik, for example. Like I said, we know he's good. Well, there isn't like me trying to like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to, you know, we're really booked up. No, if he sucked, I'd be like, no, he sucks. I have no fucking interest. Just like somebody came up to me about the pre-show. It's like, no, you're not in it. It's like, I'm not going to not tell you 45 minutes before the show. You know, it's like, go review your matches. When you just recently were told you need to work on this, that, and the other thing, because it wasn't good enough. Why would I put you in this match?
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, that's what it's all about. And again, Future Shock will be coming up on the 30th. And then on the 31st, it is A Cruel Summer, an all women's show.
Well, not all.
Well, I mean, yeah, but primarily featured women, big names. Give them the shine, man. Come on, Joe.
Come on. If we ran all men's shows, people would get mad. So you can't say that, right? Why are we able to say the opposite? Not that we haven't run shows, obviously, that didn't have women on it because they were unavailable. Right. But on a women's show, you gotta break things up. Intergender matches are very, and now it's an intergender tag match. So, you know.
Yeah. Which, and that's, you know, Luke and Remy, this will be the first time they're working each other, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And, you know, Curtis has opened a lot of eyes. You know, like before Chris knew who he was, and I'm like, oh, Luke Curtis. I'm like, well, watch out for this guy. And then I guess he came with this girl when Chris was, you know, working with Brittany and training on a Monday and then saw a couple matches. He's like, oh, hey, he's pretty good. No shit, Chris. Like, I'm putting bums in, giving bums, putting, like, I'm going to put my reputation on a guy who sucks. Come on. Come on now.
Yeah. This is just exciting. And looking at this, you know, flyer, do I see Fallon there?
She will also be on hand. We also signed today one lady from, I believe, Arizona, goes by SOS.
Okay.
All right. And another one out of California, named Zyra.
Zyra, sure. Yeah.
So who is getting a lot of work. So we're just trying to fill things up. And, you know, obviously, as I said, you know, you see the flyer. Trisha Dora is going to be on the show and the Black Swan and Dana Lynn, who, you know, came through the system.
Yeah. Yeah. And
you know, I was trying to reach out to Milo, who we used to use, but I can't find her Facebook and I don't see her on Twitter. So trying to reach out.
Yeah. I haven't heard much about Milo within the last 6 months or so. She's been kind of,
you know, off the radar. And normally it was like, I know she used to come up with Viva a lot. And right. I went to look for Viva's, but her Facebook's no longer her Facebook. It's more of the athlete page.
Right.
So I was going to look for, you know, friends because Milo's real name might be what her Facebook name is.
Right. Yeah.
So I couldn't find it. But we do have a couple of other slots that we're trying to fill that, you know, you know, people have reached out, Gypsy and Brittany, and it's who wants to come out, who wants to work. And, you know, Brooke Havoc, I reached out to, haven't heard back from, but I know she's doing the, you know, I guess she's doing well doing the, I'm going to a different training school every week.
Right. Yeah.
And I guess she's been getting sponsors who have helped her on the journey there. So.
Right. Which actually is a very interesting concept. I'm surprised no one's done that before. So very, very smart. Especially when you can get the sponsors like that. Especially
in this business. You know, sometimes you want to get somewhere that nobody's flying you to, and you can take advantage of that by getting a sponsor to help cover.
Yep. Well, and speaking of cover again, it's a first blood match. Someone's getting covered in blood.
I think we might have to pull the black mat off after canvas, and you know, we don't want to ruin it. It's only a month old. We don't want it to have blood on it.
Yeah, yeah. And being it's the arena, the front row better be ready because one quick turn of the head and that blood's going flying.
Well, it could be like a Gallagher show. We'll give everybody like the plastic tarps in the front.
Hey man, you know, it could be like Supreme used to just go right up to used to play right at the freaking front row. Someone get covered in blood, man.
Wow, nice. Man, in this day and age, he'd have been sued because, you know, they claim they got hepatitis or something from him.
Dude, what they could do back then, you know, it was insane. It was insane. And to think that, yeah, now it's like, you know, you get sneezed on in the front row by a wrestler and it's like, oh, I'm suing.
I remember we had an issue one time with Eli Everfly that he spit something and he tried to claim it was like, oh, it was my flaming Cheetos. It's like, yeah, whatever. Oh, I was trying to hit the guardrail. Really, why are you spitting in front of the guardrail right where the person is? That was the early days of Eli Everfly at Sam's Town.
Oh, man. And, yeah. Let's see. Dustin says that would be a big lawsuit.
Yeah.
Gypsy's eyebrow got my camera pretty good. Oh boy, that's Scoop better be ready for some get some pretty intense pictures of whoever's bleeding, man. That's gonna be,
yeah. Hopefully we'll have the video wall there, but I'm not sure because, you know, the power at the FSW arena should not be nearly as good as the Silverton one. So we don't want the lights to go out because we don't have any other lights, you know.
No, and if the lights go out, then the swamp coolers go out too, right?
Like the whole power system goes out. Yeah. Well, August 31st, it's another 11 days. Oh, wait, it's still 110 out here.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you what, this has been hasn't been a cruel summer compared to last year where every day was over 110. I don't think we've had 10 days over 110.
Yep.
So, yeah. But I'll tell you what, man, 107 still hot, bro.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. Hazmat suits. That's what we need for the show, hazmat suits. Oh, boy. All right, final thoughts before we take off, Joe.
Hey, you know what? Big show. It's good. And again, it seems like the wrestling business has really picked up, you know.
Yep.
No matter what show it is, like I said, we've seen the increase. And you know what? When you bring more people in, we have a job to do. We got to make them people who come to check out a show say, hey, I need to come to the next one. I got to come to the next one. This is good stuff. Because it's easy to get, I always say it's easy to get somebody in that first time. And, you know, right now it seems like we're clicking and the right people are, you know, coming back from injury, coming back from Japan. It's like, you know, got the women's show on the 30th and the 12th is going to be a big deal. You know, we got a lot of things happening. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to planning things out and having things set up all the way till, you know, Mania 2026. So, you know, help support, you know, the more you guys want to come out, I'll run shows every week.
Well, there you go.
I don't want to have to deal with these fuckers every week, but for the fans, I will.
Well, you know, I'm sure Title Match wouldn't mind having a women's show monthly.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. There's, you know, it kind of creeped up on us with the show. But, you know, after this is the testing ground and we'll see. Yeah. And, you know, like to see if we could start utilizing, you know, some of the talent we used at the Future Legend Women's, which, hey, it'd be nice to have Layla and Trish from AEW and Maggie Lee and Jada Stone from TNA. Yeah. And now all of a sudden, again, we're the company that where you want to see people from every company, right? And you can't see it from the big ones. You could see it from us.
Right.
So, you know, right now, September 12th, the little people are nervous because AAA is running here in town. Big match, man. People are going to come for Dominic Mysterio, and people are like, oh, you're not going to move it, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, if it was a casino show, it'd move. I said, you know, we're looking for a decent crowd. Hey, you know, if we get 150 people at a school show, it's a good school show. I'm like, they're not running at the Thomas and Mack. They're running at the Pavilion. They're running in a place, so they're expecting, you know, 2,000 to 3,000, not 15,000 to 20,000. Right. I'm pretty sure, you know, AAA, even with Dominic Mysterio there, it's going to be heavily influenced by the Latino market. You know, no, calm down, Dustin. We're not outselling the AAA show. And we're not worried about outselling them. We just want to have our core base here that's going to be a really good show. And I want them to say, oh shit, Jacob Boston Young's back. Yeah. Oh shit, Jay Vidal's going to be here. Oh, Bateman's going to be here. Hero's going to be here. Shogun might show up. Hey, you could hang out and, you know, maybe you can buy Chris Bay a water instead of a drink that you did at the Silverton. Great to have Chris on board, you know, doing, you know, I saw his post. I'm like, hey, Mr. Agent.
You know? You do realize that when you become office, you do have to shave your head. So he's become he's office now.
Yeah, yeah. We got the outfit now. We got to get the matching suits, you know, me and Chris. Yeah. Matching purple suits.
Yeah, yeah. I'm assuming that you might see Dom at the school within the next, you know, few weeks, kind of. You know, getting ready for that AAA match.
Oh, I'm not going to let him use the school unless he brings Mr. Iguana. And it's like, so they bring out Mr. Iguana and they don't even give him an entrance. Like, that was his debut and you killed his entrance? I don't understand.
Well, I'm just saying, if Dom happens to be at the school, you know, there's always that suggestion of, hey Dom, why don't you stop by after you finish AAA on the 12th?
Because I think since we're both starting at the same time, unfortunately, and that's the thing. If it was a Saturday, I would have did it like a 2 o'clock show.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's nothing we can do. So it's like, you know what? If you're going to go to the show, awesome. Because we all know you can watch it on YouTube later. If you're not going to the show, come to our show. So we got to make the show stacked. We got to make the show, oh, man, we want to see this one. So,
yeah, so I mean, it sounds like the show should be something that everyone should cross off their list.
You know, maybe there's a way we can convince people and outsell AAA. Maybe Dustin's right. Maybe we can outsell AAA.
Wouldn't that be, oh my God. If you really want to get under Hunter's skin, you just, you know, you ran cross against his AAA show and you outdrew him.
Yeah. Or we say Cross is coming to FSW September 12th, and it's Lena Cross instead. So just don't tell anybody. She's way cheaper than Kevin.
Yeah. Yeah.
We said Cross because she spells it with a K too. So, you know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And you could use.
And we bring Matt Cross. We bring Matt Cross in. And we bring Chris Cross in. They do a little concert at intermission. Oh, we bring every cross available. We bring the Red Cross in. And the only cross we don't bring in is Kevin.
It's Kevin. Oh, man. Well, with that being said, that will do it for this week, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. And until next time, everybody, happy wrestling.